Hey everybody, welcome back to Gamer Heroes episode 46. It is January 16th, 2018. I am Derek. I've got my co-host John with me. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Just very busy leading up to Planet Comic Con and all the new stuff going on in my life, so trying to figure out balance.
Well, we'll make tonight's episode short and sweet, and not that it probably won't be super short, but we'll make it sweet.
Deal.
We're going to be covering week one of the Overwatch League, along with some news as to the League tokens. And of course, we'll be talking about the massive Nintendo Direct Mini that happened that was just a ton of information about a bunch of different games coming to the Nintendo Switch. And I'm going to talk a bit at the end about some games I've been playing, including one that I actually just finished up over the weekend. So let's kick things off, man. So the Overwatch League, it's happened. It started last Wednesday, January 10th. It kicked off week one.
Yeah. It seemed to be pretty successful, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, tons of people tuned in. I know you could watch it, of course, through your Battle.net client. You could watch it inside of Overwatch. You could watch it on Twitch. The way this works is in week one, there were three games each night, and there were four nights of play. So there were 12 total games that took place, which meant everybody played twice. And the way the scoring occurs is that there are four matches. Usually sometimes in a game, there's a couple of exceptions. For example, the Soul beat the Fuel 2-1, which is a little different. But long story short, you play individual matches, and the teams will get a point for each match. And then whichever team gets the most points wins that game. Okay, so the Los Angeles Valiant shut out the San Francisco Shock 4-0. Now, the Valiant actually were the only team to shut out both games. They won 3-0 over the Dallas Fuel. So the Valiant are 2-0 after week one, as far as their overall record is concerned.
Looks like they're tied for I don't know, first place. I want to say in their division with a few other people.
Yeah, so there's two division doesn't even seem like the right word. It's almost like conferences, but
right.
The Pacific and the Atlantic. And the way that the standings work and the playoffs work is that of the 12 teams, half of them are going to go to the playoffs. So 6-team playoff. It's based on their regular season record, except that the top seeded team from each division gets a first round bye. So that means that at least one team from the Pacific and one team from the Atlantic, but it can be skewed after that because the next four teams are just whatever the best four teams are. So after week one, the Los Angeles Valiant, the London Spitfire, the Seoul Dynasty, and the New York Excelsior all went 2-0. These weren't all shutouts, of course. So, you know, the London Spitfire, for example, they beat the Florida Mayhem 3-1, and they beat the Philadelphia Fusion 4-0, as just an example. Then, of course, you've got the teams that won one game and lost one game. So that's the Boston Uprising, the other Los Angeles team, the Gladiators, the San Francisco Shock, and the Philadelphia Fusion. And then
right.
below that, you then have the last four teams who did not win either of their matches in week one. And that would be the Houston Outlaws and the Dallas Fuel, so both Texas teams, the Florida Mayhem, and the Shanghai Dragons.
Dang. So, yeah, like I said earlier, it looks like we've got two people tied for first in both, like you said, divisions, Pacific and Atlantic, mm-hmm. In each division. So, man, I apologize, but it looks like Philadelphia, I know that you want to represent, isn't really doing, they're middle, they're doing okay.
I mean, yeah, they won one, they lost one. Next week, they go up against San Francisco and the LA Gladiators, the two other 1-1 teams. So, you know, maybe Philly will come out on top on those, you know, we'll have to see.
It'll just like the Eagles, right?
Just well. So, hey, all right. So for those who don't know, I was born in Philly, though I've been in Kansas City over 20 years. So Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, those are my guys. But Sixers, of course, I don't want to leave anybody out. But anyway, the Philadelphia Soul for arena football. Long story short, though. So the Eagles, yeah, they made it to the NFC Championship game, which is pretty cool. First time with a playoff win since 2008. So it's been a little while. Yeah, it'll be good stuff playing the Vikings on Sunday. So
he was very excited about it. That's why I had to bring it up.
Go Eagles. But there's some cool scheduling stuff here. So for next week, for week two, which actually starts on Thursday, January 18th, there's three games that day, so to speak. And the Valiant and the Excelsior, which are both 2-0 going into week two, they actually play each other. So we'll have at least one fewer undefeated team after that, which is pretty cool. There could be some interesting stuff go on there. And then the Valiant also played the London Spitfire, another 2-0 team. So it's possible that the Valiant will end up 2-2 after this next week if they're playing, you know, two other good teams.
Yeah, that's a really interesting matchup that they have set up here. Pretty cool, though. So, yeah, I haven't quite picked a team yet. I actually didn't have a chance to watch any of the matches, but I've seen a lot of people talk about it on Facebook. I've seen the popularity, so that's great. I'm glad that this is taking off. This could be the beginning of, I don't know, maybe some other game. Maybe Player Battlegrounds Unknown might become a fun Running Man type show. Who knows?
It's cool. You can see some cool stuff online. You can see some match details that talk about the different the games of the four games, you know, how those things went. And, you know, it kind of gives you a better picture because it's not necessarily black and white who wins these games all the time. So it's pretty cool. It's good stuff. And, you know, a lot of money is behind this for people who don't know. It's a $20 million buy-in for a team. And then on top of that, you have to pay the player salaries and benefits.
And then healthcare. Have an arena. Looks like every team has some kind of place where they play.
Well, actually, so that's the catch. There's only one arena, and it's in L.A.
Huh. So they're flying these guys out every week?
Well, I would imagine that they just live in L.A. during the season.
Gotcha.
That would be my guess. So every game is played in L.A. at the Overwatch Arena. You can buy season tickets to physically go and watch. But yeah, this is only L.A. It's the only arena. That goes for our international teams as well. So the London Spitfire, the Seoul Dynasty, and the Shanghai Dragons, they all have to stay here for essentially 6 months to play for the season.
That's pretty interesting. It's very different from normal professional sports. That's awesome. I do want to give hats off to Blizzard. They've done a very good job at making it accessible. And I want to say their site is very easy to navigate. So from a new person perspective wanting to get into it, they've made it very, very easy for me to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. You know, they want this to get people interested in the game. They want you to go and buy the game if you don't already have it.
Well, something on a side note, the trophy is badass. Have you seen the trophy?
I actually haven't. No, I haven't seen the trophy.
The championship trophy is so cool. It looks like it basically looks like a ice sword. It's so freaking cool. I'm going to go ahead and link this to you so you can see it. It's really cool. I would like to win that. I'm surprised they haven't done replicas of it yet.
Well, they haven't given one out yet, so, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Now, the other thing that came out of this is that there's a new currency in Overwatch. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, called League Tokens. And those are officially available for sale if you want to buy the, quote, jerseys for a particular team. The way this works is you have to purchase it per character, per team. So, you know, Reaper, Mercy, and D.Va, that's three different skins. And you'll get, just by logging in, you're going to get 100 of the tokens for free for you to use to buy a skin. That gets you one skin. 100 tokens is good for one skin as long as you log in to Overwatch before February 13th. So you got some time. You got about a month. Go log in. You'll get your 100 tokens. Buy a skin. I have not bought mine yet. I haven't decided what I'm going to do there, but I'm sure it's going to be a Philadelphia skin. Just not sure which character yet.
Have they put price tags on those? Like, well, how far does 100 really get you?
So 100 tokens is one character skin. But gotcha. What does that cost in real money? Well, basically, 100 tokens is $4.99, so it's $5.
Okay, that's actually a pretty nice incentive.
Now, if you buy more, of course, they get cheaper, right? So it gets as cheap as 2,600 tokens for $100. Now, 2,600 tokens gets you 26 skins. Okay?
Hmm.
So that basically would allow you to get one skin for each Overwatch hero. So if you're all in on one particular team, you can spend $100 and get skins for everybody. Now, that might sound like a lot of money. If you want to compare this to physical sports, then, you know, a real, like, authentic NFL jersey can be $300.
Oh, for sure. Very expensive, actually.
The cheaper ones are maybe $100 or $120, right, is kind of the idea.
And that's the cheap one.
Right, yeah. So, you know, it can get a little bit pricey if you want to go and do this. Of course, if you want to have everything, which, I mean, I'm not saying these people don't exist. I'm sure there are people out there who want to buy literally every skin for every character. That'll cost you a little over $300. It'd be $312 at the highest rate, but of course you can't do that. So, you'd have to pay $300 and then probably, I don't know, a little bit more, but $315 maybe to get you what you need. But, you know, so it's not a cheap purchase necessarily. It depends how into it you are, though. If you're really into a team and you like it, go knock yourself out. You can see all the skins, of course, and check them out and look through them to see what you like and what you don't like before you purchase them. So there's no blind box here or anything like that. You're buying, you know exactly what you're buying when you buy it, which I do like. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because, I mean, oftentimes the loot crates there are very, they're randomized. And, you know, it takes a few sometimes when you're doing their specials, you know, their special promotions or what do they call them, seasons. And you really want this skin and you're trying hard and you're willing to spend a little money. Like when they did the Olympics one, I know you were really big on trying to get, was it Tracers?
I got Tracers and I got Mercies. Those were the two I really wanted. So
right.
I was pretty happy.
But yeah, normally you're usually spending money to get that.
Yeah. I mean, I bought a few of the loot boxes, but this is different because you're not buying a box. You're buying a specific skin.
Exactly.
So it feels a little bit better because you know exactly what you're getting.
I agree. I think this is great stuff and, I hope to tune in here probably this upcoming week.
Yeah, it should be good. You know, week two is starting up here on Thursday, so you know, the game times are a little bit weird. I'm not gonna lie. So, you know, on Wednesday actually is when week two starts. Excuse me. You know, we've got there's a game at 6 p.m., a game at 8 p.m., and a game at 10 p.m. This is all Central Time, so 7, 9, and 11 Eastern. You know, but then on Thursday, the game starts at 4 p.m. And so I'm going to be at work.
That is weird.
That game comes out. Now, that one will be interesting because it's Dallas and Houston. So that's a intrastate game. So
I guess you'll have to probably catch that one. I mean, they make it very easy for you to get to it. So,
yeah, it's not hard. It's really not. But anyway, that's the Overwatch League. Week one is in the books. There are 5 weeks in stage one, so we'll be, you know, coming back and letting people know how everybody fared next week.
Good. I mean, I think it might be a cool idea just to kind of give those who are listening just a weekly update on where the teams are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's the leaderboard? Cool. So let's segue into other news. Some new stuff has happened. January is not a very fast month. Not a lot going on. However, the one big thing that does go on in January is Nintendo does their Direct. They did a mini.
Yeah, this one was super weird. There were all these rumors about when it was going to be, and Nintendo even started trolling people on Twitter, which I thought was hilarious.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Go check out Nintendo of America. But yeah, we got it. Nintendo Direct Mini. And I'll tell you what, other than it being a concise video, there was nothing mini about it.
Yeah, no, they the list here is gigantic. You know, it's not like yet last year when they announced the Switch, but I will say we're talking 1 year later, right? Just about 1 year later. And look at all these games they're adding to the roster. Look at all these things they're already coming out with DLC. I'll just dive right in there. Mario Odyssey is going to get DLC, and it's going to be, looks like Luigi's getting some love here. Unfortunately, Luigi doesn't get his own game this year, so there goes one of my predictions, but it's called Luigi's Balloon World. We don't really know much about it, do we?
Well, so the cool thing about it is, A, it's a free update, so it unlocks after you beat the game, so you do
have to
beat the game.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's not paid for, versus like where Zelda got paid DLC. Pokken Tournament, which we'll talk about, gets paid DLC. This is free. It's, of course, not as large of a DLC as those paid ones, but basically there's going to be these activities, these in-game activities where you have to complete certain tasks and place things in maps, and then that is a passive multiplayer in the sense that you're going to be able to interact with the things that other players have placed on these maps, which
That's
is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely new for Mario, which is pretty neat. I feel like Luigi's a little shoehorned into it because they wanted to use Luigi or something.
Well, they wanted to, like I said, he got no love. So, I totally agree. Like that's about all he's getting this year. And it's just like, hey, what's a bonus? What can we add to this game? Oh, that's right. Luigi's completely absent the entire game. So I think, I totally agree with you. It was kind of a, let's just throw him in there.
Now, it is early in the year. He could end up with something. Who knows? But, yeah, there's also going to be, Mario's going to get a few new outfits that you'll be able to get in-game. And then the snapshot mode where you can take screenshots in-game and manipulate them is going to add some filters, which should be kind of cool. So that's coming in February. Totally free update to anybody who's already beat Super Mario Odyssey.
Right. I think that's awesome. I'm glad that we get free DLC. I understand. Well, I guess Breath of the Wild was the first one to get real DLC this past year.
Yeah, so Nintendo doesn't do DLC very much. They did it with Mario Kart 8. With a couple of DLC packs to get more characters. Other than that, they've never really done it. So Zelda was the big one. It got a 2-part DLC, and both parts are out now. You can get them both for $20. So it's not like a huge buy-in. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, tell me about this Hyrule Warriors. So it looks to me like it's a game containing, you know, Zelda characters with all of the maps from the from the Wii U and the 3DS games. It has co-op split screen.
Yeah.
This is insane. So is it like an open world? What is this?
So for those who don't know, today there is a Hyrule Warriors for both the Wii U and the 3DS. They're two different games, of course, incredibly similar, but they have some different characters and some different levels and things like that. This is Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. It combines all of the content from both games. So that's all of the maps, all the characters, all of the DLC, all of the game modes, all of that stuff is all combined, which kind of makes this the one, you know, definitive version of the game, of course. It is a 3D kind of horde mode style game where you play a character, probably Link, and you defeat wave after wave of creatures. The cool thing about this is that it does have two-player co-op split screen. So on the Switch, on the same TV, split screen, you and a friend can battle these bad guys. And it's like super cool that that's going to be a local co-op experience and something that really makes me want to go and get this game.
Right.
They are adding in Breath of the Wild skins for both Link and Zelda characters, which is cool. Obviously, that was not in the other two versions of the game since those have been out for a while. So that is new content. And it's right around the corner. I mean, this is coming out in spring.
I'm very interested in this. I mean, it looks really cool. I don't know what price tag they're going to put on it. I imagine it won't be very much, right? It's got to be somewhere around $39.
No, this is going to be a $60 title.
You're for sure about that?
I am very confident.
Okay. I mean,
can't confirm
really cool.
it. Like, I'm not here to confirm it, but that's my gut. I'm telling you, it's going to be
$60. Ask you this. So here's the part that I'm concerned about, though, with it being so. Other than the horde, basically, like you said, I'm going to use that as an example. It's a horde mode, and other than co-op, you know, what is the, is there a primary campaign? Like, what is the goal here? We just sit here and fight waves of these little dinosaur goblin creatures?
Well, so it's not quite that simple. There's a lot of different creatures that you fight. I'm going to pull up the description of the game, okay? So this is what it is called, according to the Wikipedia. Hyrule Warriors is a hack-and-slash action video game, is what it is. So it's a hack-and-slash genre of game. Basically, the whole point... Let's see if I can find a better... Because I'm not explaining it very well to you, unfortunately, and I want to do a little better here. So Hyrule Warriors mixes the hack-and-slash gameplay of Dynasty Warriors, which is another video game series, but in the Zelda universe. Amongst many other characters, the player controls an original iteration of Link in melee combat to take on large numbers of enemies from the Zelda series. While there is a much stronger emphasis on combat than other games in the Zelda series, the player may use common weapons from prior games like swords, bombs, spin attacks, and enemy targeting also returns in combination with elements from Dynasty Warriors. So if you're familiar with that series, you'll have a better idea of what this is about. So there's just a bunch of different, I mean, there is a campaign, right? Cause there's a bit of a story, but I wouldn't, you know, don't expect anything like Breath of the Wild. It's a much smaller scale game, much more focused on combat.
Right. Right. I wasn't expecting that, but it's really appealing. It really is. Like from someone on the outside looking in, like I've never played those type of games, but it's definitely very appealing. So that would be a really fun one to play cooperative.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
What else did they have on the list?
To finish up DLC.
Sure, sure.
For anybody out there who's into it, they did announce a two-wave paid DLC pack for Pokken Tournament DX, which is the Switch version of Pokken Tournament. They're going to include some new Pokemon. For example, Mew, Celebi, Blastoise.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the waves come close together. The first wave is actually out at the end of the month, January 31st, and the second wave comes out towards the end of March, on March 23rd. So that is paid DLC. I don't have a price for you, but for anybody out there who's looking for some more characters for Pokken Tournament DX, that will be a good chance for you to pick up what sounds like, you know, four or five new Pokemon.
What would you say was your most exciting thing about the launch, or excuse me, about the Direct this year?
Oh, man. So there was so much good stuff. I mean, they talked about 15 different games in this mini, in this Nintendo Direct mini. One that I was super excited about is definitely Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, the port coming to Switch. This is a game that I never had a chance to finish, but I did play a lot of it and loved it on Wii U. It's another two-player co-op game, though it's not split-screen, you share the screen. But it works really well. They did it really well in the game before, which is Donkey Kong Country Returns. And they're adding... This is the only disappointment. They're adding Funky Kong as a playable character, but that's not the disappointment. I'm excited about that, except that it's the easy mode of the game that kind of helps you win the game if you're having a hard time.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
But the game looks great.
You could probably
great.
Turn them off.
I mean, maybe, yeah. But the game looks great. It looks like a lot of fun. And it comes out May 4th. So since I never finished it on Wii U, I might be picking this one up.
Yeah, it's Nintendo has a very big habit about making me buy games twice, but I'm not mad about it. You know?
Yeah,
speaking
yeah.
of which, I'd say the biggest things for me would be Payday 2. That's a huge deal for me because, again, who doesn't want to play a game where you're planning and executing a heist? Who doesn't want to do that? They've even confirmed local and online multiplayer. I know last time we were talking about this, we were kind of on the fence, like, oh, is it going to have local? And I was pretty sure it was going to be cooperative considering it's a 4-man heist.
Right.
So they've confirmed it. I'm very excited about that. And it looks like they're going to get a new timed exclusive heister, so a new character. I don't know how long that lasts, but February 27th, I'm pretty stoked about that. And then the second thing that I think is kind of a really big win, for me, this was the biggest standout next to Payday. Dark Souls Remastered,
yeah.
which is a big deal because Dark Souls, much like Wolfenstein and much like Doom, is a very graphically intensive game. So we're talking like people run Dark Souls, let me just put it this way, on some of the highest computer setups, rigs, whatever you call it, and it still can't be maxed out. So, yeah, this is a very big deal. And the remaster, from what I'm understanding here, is going to fix a lot of the things that the original had, because the original had some inconsistencies with controls, and I think there was some weird glitches between changing areas. So all of that is supposed to be fixed. It's going to be in HD, which we expect. It's very exciting. This is a big game, so I'm really pumped up for that. Have you ever played the Dark Souls game?
So I never had a chance to, and so this is a big deal for me. I'm going to be able to really start the franchise over. It is remastered, which is super cool, and there's all these rumors that they're also doing 2 and 3. So I definitely want to pick this up. Of course, I keep having friends tell me that I'm not going to like this game because of just my gaming style. I'm not exactly sure what that means. It feels like it's a bit of a ding on me, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Why? What did they say you won't like about it? I'm just curious. Like, I think
it's because it's you know, it's known as being a brutally difficult game.
I think you'll be fine, Derek. Doom is a difficult game. You did fine.
Yeah, Doom was great. I love Doom. So I'm not really worried about it.
No, you'll still get it. And like I said, I'll still get it too. It's another... I've played Dark Souls, and I've played Dark Souls 2. I have not played a third. I don't even think it's out. When did that come out?
It's out. I don't remember the date, but...
It must have been very recent. Oh, okay. It was last year.
Yeah.
Anyways... It's another role-playing game, and I don't... Did you ever play the Lord of the Rings game that was out, Shadow of Mordor?
I have not had a chance to.
It's very much like that. It's kind of an open world, but it still needs to load when you go to different areas. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot to do. It's going to be a pretty large game. So this is definitely a $60 title.
Yeah,
no doubt
it's cool.
About it.
Some of the specs are pretty neat. It's going to run at 1080p in docked mode, 720p in handheld mode, 30 frames per second locked in both modes. So it should be a pretty positive experience.
That's interesting considering Doom had to be brought down less than that. And I would say, in my opinion, Doom is pretty much on rails. This one's more open.
I mean, you know... Every port's going to be different, and companies are going to get better at porting to new consoles. So, you know, it just kind of depends on the situation.
It's Wolfenstein. You're worried. You're not worried, but you're interested in how that's going to work on the Switch, right?
I am. So I did. I picked it up on PS4. And so, in fact, I was going to talk about that a little bit later, but I just started playing the New Order, which is the first Wolfenstein, on PS4. Not, of course, the original Wolfenstein. I know that's a much,
that's like an SNES.
I mean, it was an old PC game, man. I mean, I played the original, Wolfenstein back in the, you know, like the original Doom. Those are very different looking, than they are today. But, I'm talking about the newer ones, the remastered or remade, whatever you want to call them.
Updated. But, I don't know. They are kind of updated, right? They're taking place more in a dystopian future.
Well, no. So, okay. So the first Wolfenstein came out in 2014 and it starts off in 1946. So of course you start out immediately, you're still at war, with the Nazis and you're
right.
Like, well, shouldn't the war be over now? It's 1946. Of course it's not. And then there's these giant mechs of, you know, giant like robotic dogs and mechs and things like that. But after the intro to the game, and I apologize if this spoils anything for anybody, but it is a three-year-old game now, or almost 4 years old now. But you actually, after the intro, you jump ahead 16 years, or 14 years to 1960. And so the game really takes place in 1960, which is very, very interesting. So I'm playing through that one right now. I am not done with it yet, but I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, see, so that's, you know, more than anything that it's it's going to be quite a feat to see that run on the Switch. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it should be interesting. And of course, that they're talking about porting Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, which is the new one that came out this past fall. So that game's only been out a couple of months, and they're talking about porting that one to the Switch. So.
Sorry, Switch subjects, but those were the only two things that stood out to me in the Nintendo Direct, and you said for you it was Donkey Kong.
That was the big one. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff. I am really excited about Mario Tennis Aces. I know that sounds kind of silly, but I love Mario sports games.
I was just about to say, like, the best games to play are the ones that are Mario, because, like, Mario Soccer was so good.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so that stuff's just really fun for me. So I'm really excited for that. And it's actually coming with a story mode, which is the first time that we've had that since way back in the Game Boy Advance. So I'm really looking forward to checking that out and playing that with some people.
What if they do it like, and he hated Bowser, but they are the sworn rivalries, and they... That'd be hilarious if the story mode is just like you facing Bowser and like, I don't know, it's you, if you win the match, you save Princess Peach. Like, it'd be kind of cool.
It would be interesting. We'll have to see. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, man, they talk about 15 games, so there's other stuff in here. Mario plus Rabbids is getting DLC with Donkey Kong this spring. And then there was a bunch of other games that were mentioned too. So there's just a ton of stuff coming to Switch right now, which is pretty exciting. It's a good time. I've already pre-ordered Bayonetta 1 and 2. That'll come out in February. I picked up my Amiibo because that works in games. So looking forward to that too.
Yeah, the Amiibo is pretty cool. She's pretty cool looking. So she's a real cool character. So I imagine the appeal for her Amiibo. Will they come out with a new one for... Like a, you know how they kind of did like, some they kind of reskinned a few.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't announced that yet, so I just picked up the Smash Brothers version that's already out there.
Cool.
So, yeah, but that's it. Unless there's anything else you wanted to cover on the Nintendo Direct.
No, just other than I'm pretty darn excited to play some of these games that they've got queued up for us, and a lot of them are pretty soon. Like Payday, we're looking next month. Dark Souls, we're looking, what was that, March?
May. So
May,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Payday 2 is February 27th. Dark Souls Remastered is May 25th. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is May 4th. You've got the Super Mario Odyssey update is in February. Hyrule Warriors is in spring. So just it's all coming. It's all coming very soon.
Yeah, it's pretty soon. So that's... Now, when they say direct mini, that means we're going to get the big direct here in March?
I mean, maybe. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what. Maybe they have some gameplay footage or something from, you know, some new game, or maybe they'll shock the world and have something for Metroid 4.
Or they'll do something crazy off the wall. Players unknown PUBG is now going to be on the Switch. Dude, that would be insane.
I wouldn't bet on it. They can barely get that thing to run on an Xbox.
I know. And I don't I don't know if it's the game or if it's the Xbox. Like, I hate to be mean to Xbox people, but...
It's the game. It's the game.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
It runs pretty smoothly on PC.
Right, but that's the thing, though, is that it's kind of a hodgepodge of code in the background because it was an early release game, the way that it was handled, and it doesn't port well is part of the issue.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for those who got the Xbox. I mean, I'm sure they're going to fix it. They're going to probably release a huge update here soon. But
probably.
Yeah, it's if that was the reason you bought your Xbox One X, you're gonna have to wait a little longer.
Yeah, exactly.
But well, let's segue into, I guess, what we've been playing and what we've been up to lately. I know we actually didn't touch on this last time for our first episode of 2018. You actually met your goal, your game completion goals. You actually met them.
I did. Yeah. So for those who don't know, I made a goal for myself for 2017 that I would play and beat 12 games, one a month. And so this was only games that you actually could beat, right? It's not like, you know, Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or anything like that, where obviously those are individual matches and there's no campaign or anything like that. So those games didn't count, even though I still played them. So my time was split, but yeah, I did it. I beat 13 games, and, you know, kind of in the 11th hour. The last game I beat was on December 29th.
What game was that?
It was South Park, The Stick of Truth. An older one, yeah. That was my old 360 game that has backwards compatibility. And so, no, not The Fractured Butthole. I'll get to that one.
Which might be coming to the Switch.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll be a little disappointed if it does, because I bought it for PS4 and I haven't had a chance to actually play it yet. So I don't want to buy it twice, but I'd rather have it on the Switch. But yeah, man, Stick of Truth was so much fun. Like, it really was a great game. It was hilarious. There's just some wonderful stuff in there for anybody who hasn't played it. Canada, because there's a part in the game where you go to Canada, everything changes. It goes from looking like a South Park episode to looking very, very different. I don't want to spoil anything, but the graphic and music style completely changes. The style of game changes.
It probably gets, like, much more rudimentary.
It's pretty cool. I'm just gonna say that. But I played some really great games. I played through all four mainline Gears of War games. I have not played Judgment Day yet. I'll go back and play that one at some point. Of course, Breath of the Wild. I finished a couple of old ones like Super Mario 3D Land and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. A couple of unique ones like Narcosis, which we've talked about, and Stick It to the Man. And then Bastion, which was really just a wonderful game, Bastion. And then Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls, I beat on PS4 with the girl. I had already played it on PC, so this is my first time beating it on PS4. And finally, Doom for Switch.
That's a good list, man. That's pretty healthy.
Yeah, it was a good list. And I already beat a game in 2018 here. I finished SteamWorld Dig 2.
God, I'm so happy you beat that game, because I had so many questions for you. I know it's an awesome game because we got to play it a little early in one of our earlier episodes. The developer, they gave us a chance to test it out and prior to release, and it was great.
Image Inform is the the developer there. They're over in Sweden, and I've been following these guys since the original SteamWorld Dig came out. And I reviewed that one for them. I reviewed SteamWorld Heist, and I reviewed SteamWorld Dig 2. And, you know, man, I just got to be honest. Like, they just keep getting better. They
How big is this
do.
One?
And I definitely don't mean don't go back and play the old stuff, because it's a story, and it's very important that you play all three, in my opinion. But the games just get better. And SteamWorld Dig 2, just, it's a beautiful game. Set in a beautiful world with some really lovable, quirky characters. Everything is very bright and detailed with just a fun, lighthearted tone to it. You know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek at times, a little sarcastic at times. But, man, it's just such a good game. So SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Dig 2 are basically they're digging platformers where you play a Steambot in a future dystopia, and SteamWorld Dig 2, you are going after the character you played as in SteamWorld Dig. As you play, you get upgrades, so you get better, you know, pickaxes, or you get, you know, better weapons or better abilities. I'm not going to give anything away. Just really great. Great game. I loved it. It was really wonderful. If anything, I wish it had been a little longer, because I don't want to be done with it. I want to keep playing.
It's huge, though. Second one is pretty darn huge, because the map basically continues if you keep going to the right.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, I explored quite a bit, and, I mean, I didn't really clock my game time. It was about 10 hours, which is what the first one was, too, so it's not really, like, these are not Breath of the Wild-size games.
You're right.
By any means. But don't misunderstand, I would play them if they were that big. Because they're just wonderful games. They really are. So that was really great. It's out on Switch now. That's what I played it on. Just a really positive experience.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I had tried playing the other SteamWorld games, and they weren't my style. This one, SteamWorld 2, Dig 2, was definitely my style, and I enjoyed it. So I have it here on PC. Yeah, man, that's great. So what are your goals for 2018? And, you know, I'll give you mine and we'll wrap it up.
Well, putting an exact number really stressed me out, because basically I got to December, and I was three games short in December. And I had to kind of just barrel through it and finish up some games. And I actually ended up beating four games in December. All within a day of each other. The 26th, 7th, 28th, and 29th, I beat a game.
He took days off of work, by the way.
I did. So the way the holidays fell, 3 days of, well, you know, but 3 days of PTO got me 11 days off in a row, which is pretty sweet. So I kind of took advantage of that and beat some games. But this year, you know, really my goal is to decrease my backlog, but really catch up on some franchises I've missed over the years. So right now I'm playing through Wolfenstein, so I'm going to play all three of those. I'm going to play the two Bayonettas once those come out on Switch. And I'm also going to be checking out Assassin's Creed. So this is kind of funny. Assassin's Creed is a franchise I've never actually played. I know it's shocking. But even though I own four of the games, I've never bought any of them. Okay, so the first game, Assassin's Creed, was a gift. Assassin's Creed 2 was a free game on Xbox Gold. Assassin's Creed 4, which was Black Flag, came free with my graphics card. And Assassin's Creed 6, which is Origins, the new one, that came free with the new Yeti microphone I bought for some of our other shows.
Are you serious? Network.
Dead serious.
Wow.
So I still need 3, and I still need 5.
Okay, so 3 is... you could just skip it.
That's what I hear.
It's not bad, it's just not as good. So 1 and 2 are excellent. And then there's a lot of in-between ones, like Revelations and all these other weird stuff. So Black Flag, I want to say, though, is probably one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Black Flag... You could probably just start there. It's a standalone story. It doesn't even tie in. You could probably just start at that game. It'll get you going pretty well.
Cool. So yeah, so I'm going to check all that stuff out. you know, that's kind of my major goals for the year. I've got a bit of a wish list of upcoming games, but we'll see.
So if you were to assign a number, so are you going to do, you beat 13 games last year, are you going to do 14 games this year?
No, I'm never going to push myself more than the 12 because I play a lot of games that don't end. I do. You know, I'm going to pick up the classic, or not the classic, the 30th anniversary collection of Street Fighter. I'm going to pick that up. You know, but I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna quote beat Street Fighter. I'm still gonna play Overwatch. I'm still gonna play Heroes of the Storm. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, I think 12 is a good number.
I don't think mine is that high. I have some games that I want to play that I've been wanting to just sit down and beat. Like, I'll give you an example: Injustice 2. I need to finish it. I was obsessed with Injustice, the first one, and I played that game so many times, and I even did most of, maybe all of 2 or maybe 3 of the Star Labs challenges on the side as an additional. I want to beat that. I need to beat Evil Within 2. I bought that one at release day, and I haven't even opened it. It's still in the plastic. And I need to beat Mario Odyssey. I want to beat Tekken 7. I want to beat Resident Evil 7. So I've got a good list of probably a good solid 8 that I want to beat, not to mention all the other games that are going to be releasing this year.
Sure, yeah.
So I, you know what? I actually, now that I'm listing it off, I might be close to your 12. These are things that I'm actually going to be definitely more committed about beating this year. So kind of let those slide. But as we go, we'll definitely update you, the listeners. We'll give you updates on what we're doing and how we're playing and what we think. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to hear people's opinions.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if there's a game out there you think we should play, or if you've got an opinion that differs from us on a game that we're talking about, hit us up. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you guys next week.
See ya. Gamer Heroes is a part of the Heroes Podcast Network. The show host is myself, John Zerwinski, and Derek Mayer. The theme song is by Flying Killer Robots. You can find us as well as the other Heroes Podcast shows at heroespodcast.com, as well as on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, check us out there, Google Play, and anywhere you can use an RSS feed. Follow us on social media, shameless plug, at Heroes Podcasts, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. Or, if you're old school and you just want to email us, you can get us at contact@heroespodcasts.com. Game on!